So I was doing some thinking this week and just kind of contemplate all the things that have kind of transpired over the last year or two. And I've just kind of sensed a difference in our country in terms of this whole area of anger, which is what we're going to be talking about today. Love, it says, does not anger, right, in 1 Corinthians 13. And I was thinking about that whole idea of love does not anger, and yet looking at all the anger around us, all the rage, it seems, in different theaters and roads and all sorts of things in our world today. And I was thinking this would probably be a great time to just talk about how do you deal with some of the anger stuff going on in our society and our own lives, and what's the right way God says to deal with all this stuff. So I did some research this last week and got some facts just about anger. For example, did you know that the average man loses his temper 6 times a week? That's this many, right? The average woman 3 times a week. I guess you guys are better than we are. Anyway, the woman gets angry more often at people, and men get more angry more often at things like flat tires or machines or dull razors. Single adults express anger twice as often as married adults do. Men are more physical with their anger than women. And the home, oddly enough, is where we are most likely to express our anger. And finally, did you know that anger is most intense and most frequent towards those people that we say that we love? Not towards strangers generally, although our world today is kind of flipping out towards strangers, so imagine how angry they are at home. And yet, in our text today, Paul shares with us, again, I shared this beginning at the beginning, but love is not easily angered. And so how exactly does that work? Because the fact is that we all get angry from time to time, don't we? I mean, a lot of times, in different ways, if we're honest. Hence the saying, to dwell above with those we love, oh, that would be the glory. But to dwell below with those we know, now that's a different story. Love that quote. Anyway, anger is a very normal human reaction. Jesus got angry, right? In the Old Testament, it says 375 times that God himself got angry. And so the Bible just says this, in your anger, just acknowledging that we'll get angry from time to time, but in your anger, just don't sin. In other words, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to get angry. We see a lot of the wrong way in our culture today, right? There's a harmful way and there's a helpful way. And the issue today is not how can I get rid of all my anger, but how in the world can I express my anger in non-destructive ways? And so the issue today is not how can I get rid of all my anger, but how can I express it in non-destructive ways? In fact, let's start by taking a look at the four most common ways that people express their anger in our world today. And the reality is that everybody expresses anger in the way that they learned to express it when they were kids. Now, some of you learned it from your parents. In fact, most of us did. Some of you learned it from the television or from friends. Some of you even learned it from your wife or husband. But wherever you learned how to respond, here are the four ways that people do it. The first way is what we'll call, the maniac way, right? This is the guy that explodes. He's a walking time bomb, a hair-trigger temper, out of control. And when they get angry, boy, they just let it fly. Throw things, cuss, yell, stomp up and down, throw a temper fit. Maybe a good example of this in the Bible of the exploder, the maniac, is Cain, who, by the way, was the first murderer. In Genesis 4, verses 5 and 8, it says, Cain became furious, and he scowled in his anger. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel, and he killed him. See, this type of person usually immediately regrets their anger. They're embarrassed. They regret what they've done or what they've said. And oftentimes, they'll apologize almost immediately because they're ashamed. We all know this type of anger. We all know these kind of people. But then there's another way as well. We'll call them the mute. This is the exact opposite, of course. This is the silent type. They hold it in instead of blowing up. Don't reveal your feelings. Deny your anger. Pretend you're not mad. They conceal how they feel. This is sort of the crockpot version of getting angry, isn't it? Stewing and simmering and all the while on the inside. But when I swallow my anger, my stomach keeps score. So this kind of person is susceptible to high blood pressure and ulcers and headaches and tension headaches and backaches and all kinds of things, actually. All kinds of illnesses can actually be traced to bottled up anger. There's a man, actually, Dr. F.I. McMillan. who wrote a book called None of These Diseases, who listed actually 51 types of diseases, illnesses, that can be caused by bottled up anger, being emotionally upset and holding it all inside. A good example of this is maybe Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 17 and 18, it says this, "I stayed by myself and was filled with anger. Oh, why do I keep on suffering? Why are my wounds incurable? Why won't they heal? I'm holding it in and it's killing me." Have you ever heard anybody say, "That burns me up"? Well, they're probably right. Sometimes it's not so much what you eat that counts. I say that my wife's a dietitian. But sometimes it's not really what you eat that counts. It's what's eating you. Because it makes a difference on what's going on inside. There's another one, the martyr. Now, he is a pro at the pity party. He is self-punishing and passive. And whenever somebody gets angry, he says, "Whoa, it must be my fault. You know, what's wrong with me?" His favorite words are, "I must," and "I should," and "I have to," and "I ought to." And the number one sign of a martyr is, well, it's depression. Depression is just internalized anger most of the time. In fact, one of my friends shared with me that when he was first married, he and his wife, man, they had a horrible time. So many marriage problems early on. And so as a result, they ended up going to a Christian counselor. Good counselor. And they both kind of opened up, and they both said to him essentially, "I'm so depressed." But the counselor, God bless the guy, he said something that at first surprised my friend, but he said this. He said, "You're not depressed. You're just angry. You're angry at your wife." And the reality is that anger internalized becomes depression. A good example of this is the prodigal son in Luke 15, verse 28. It reads, "The elder brother was so angry, he would not go into the party. So his father went out and he pleaded with him to come on in, but he just wouldn't." And the problem with the martyr is that he makes everybody else miserable too. And how about this last one? We'll call him the manipulator. Lee Iacocca is one of my favorite guys, I guess, in terms of illustrations. But he was fired by Ford one time, and he uttered this famous line, "Don't get mad, get even," right? And it seems to be the theme of most of our politicians today. In fact, maybe even most of our society. The manipulator approach is the key to most television plots. "I'll figure out a way to get you back. I just will." They retaliate in an underhanded way through sarcasm, through jibes, indirect contact. So, this is the person who burns your toast, who makes you late, who forgets things that you told them, or teases you hurtfully, and then says, "Can't you take a joke?" "No, I can't. That really hurt my feelings." You know what? Religious people often choose this form of anger because it seems actually more spiritual than just exploding. It's not, but it seems that way. "Well, I'll be very nice to you. I will cut you behind your back." That's the manipulator approach. Pretending to be nice while you try to get even. A good example of this is the Pharisees in Luke chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "But they were furious and began to plot with each other what they might do to Jesus." You see, everybody gets angry. We all do, just in different ways. And you, watching right now, you are one of the ways that I just talked about. But the good news is that because they were learned, they can also be unlearned too. And that's awesome. In other words, you can change. You can make a difference in your life. It's awesome because of God. With God's help, you can do anything. So that's the big question. In a time that we're dealing with anger issues, or at least temptations to be angry in a lot of different ways in our culture today, how do you diffuse your anger? Let me give you a few steps. One of the first steps that you would ever do in doing this is understanding why you get angry in the first place. Super helpful. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience." In other words, the better I understand myself and the better I understand you, well, the easier it's going to be for me to control my anger. You see, anger is really just a warning light. It's not your real problem. It just says that there's something else much deeper that's wrong, that's going on in your life. And typically, there are three common causes of anger that are kind of deeper issues than your just the surface level anger itself. And one is when we hurt. Another is when we're frustrated. And how about this one? When we're insecure. I think one of the most helpless feelings in the world is to continue to get angry and just not know why. And that's why searching it out has become so important. Because the beautiful part about knowing why it is that you get mad is that it gives you the wisdom then to begin to do something about it. And that's huge. It gives you a direction to play, to pray. Here's a second step. Look to God and not to others for your self-worth. And I say that because a sense of self-worth is so essential to controlling your anger. Because insecure people, man, they get angered easily, don't they? Confident people are not as easily angered. Why? Well, when you have a sense of self-worth, you can handle a hurt, a frustration, and insecurity much easier because you don't always buy into the stuff that's been told to you. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21, it says, don't pay attention to everything that people say. That is godly advice, and we should all listen to it. But the context is that people may be talking bad about you. And the more insecure you are, the more you depend on the opinion of other people for you to feel good, the more vulnerable you are to getting upset. If I'm insecure and you say something bad about me, put me down, then I'm going to get insecure and I'm going to get angry because I feel that my worth is somehow dependent upon your approval. It's not true, but it's where we get ourselves. When I get angry and embarrassed, I want to fight back because I'm insecure. So the secret of overcoming anger is to develop a sense of self-worth that no matter what other people are saying about you, you know you're good. And if you can get there, you don't get uptight because you know that the issue is inside of you. But the big question is, how do you get that kind of self-confidence where you just know you're good in spite of whatever anybody else is saying? In Proverbs 14:26, it gives us some wisdom on this. It says, reverence for the Lord gives confidence and security to a man. In other words, I'll just simplify this. If God likes you and you like you, then if I don't like you, I've got the problem and not you, right? So it helps me not get so angry. And when I feel positive about myself, fewer things are going to threaten me, frustrate me, or even hurt me. But the key to really breaking free from our insecurities is this. You've got to learn to accept what God says about you is true. Because he's either lying or he actually thinks you're pretty awesome. Because God says you're okay, that he loves you, that you are special in his sight, that he has a purpose for your life, that he loves you more than you can comprehend. And if that's all true, and it is, then you don't have to get so uptight when somebody else says something about you. And as you do, your anger level goes down. How about this next one? Stop and think before reacting. See, when you get angry, have you ever noticed that our mouth, usually runs a little bit faster than our mind? When you get angry, you need to put your mind in gear before you engage your mouth. Why? Because a sharp tongue is one of the quickest ways to cut your own throat. And so you got to stop and think before you speak. This is huge advice. Before you react. In fact, in Proverbs 13:16, it just says this. Sensible people always think before they act. Why? Because angry words come so easily. In fact, the key word in anger management is actually the word think. So first, you learn to feel good about yourself and you understand why you get angry. But the key that you must start doing, right, is thinking before you respond. Why? Because you need time to react. When you start to get angry more than anything else, you need to delay your responses. Thomas Jefferson once said, if you're angry, count to 10. If you're really angry, count to 100. That's still great advice today because more than anything else, you need to buy yourself some time before you hit send. Buy yourself some time before you pick up the phone and just yell at somebody. Buy yourself some time before you say that hurtful thing toward your spouse. Buy yourself some time when you start to get angry so that you can stop, take a look back, step back, and say, whew, how do I really want to respond to all this? What is it that I really want to say? Last step, continually ask God for help when it comes to your anger issues. In Galatians 5, verse 22, it lists the fruit of the Spirit, actually. And there are 9, but I'm just going to list 4 for you tonight or today. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. Now, I share those because the reality is you can't have your life filled with those four things and be angry at the same time. You just can't do it. You can't be angry at the same time with the wrong kind of anger. You can't have love, joy, peace, and patience and still be blowing up because that's the fruit of the God Spirit. I'll give you an example of this. If I take a tube of toothpaste and I aim it and I hit it really hard, what's going to come out? Toothpaste is going to come out. And if I take a tube of mayonnaise and I hit it and I squeeze it really hard, what's going to come out? Mayonnaise is going to come out. All right, you can be following. If I fill it with chili beans, what's going to come out? All right, chili beans. So you get the picture. Here's the point. Whatever is inside is going to come out when we're under the squeeze. And that's true with people too. When the world puts its pressure on you and the deadlines are coming and the disappointments are all around and the people around you are increasing the level of expectation, you are in the squeeze. And whatever's inside of you at that moment is going to come out. And if you're filled with love, joy, peace, patience, God's Spirit, you know, when you're filled with all that kind of stuff, when the squeeze is on, that's what's going to come out of you. But when you're filled with anger and hostility, and hurt, and frustration, and disillusionment, and insecurity, then when the world puts a squeeze on you, that's what's going to come out. See, ultimately, anger is just a warning light for a deeper issue that's going on in your life that you have to deal with, right? And so how does Jesus Christ help me with my anger? Well, he does it by dealing with the root problems. The Bible teaches from cover to cover that Jesus can heal your hurts with his love. You may have been rejected or abused or mistreated or misused, unwanted, unloved, and it hurts. But Jesus can heal your hurt with his love. He will replace that hurt with his love when the pressure comes, so that when it does come, it's not more hurt that you experience, but now it's his love. Now it's this reality that he's got you, that he's with you, that he's there. How do we get there? By embracing the fact that Jesus Christ cares about you more than anybody else in the world does, that you matter to him. That's why he died for you on the cross, that your pain matters to him. That's why he took the punishment that you deserve to suffer in your place. Why did he do all this, you ask? Again, hence the series. It's because he loves you, and he always will. Because his greatest desire is for one day you to be with God in heaven, right? That's his whole end game. He wants to spend eternity with you because he loves you that much. And so he gives us all this great advice in Scripture on how to follow in his ways, how to experience the best as we go through this life, how to improve our relationships, which is really the crux of this whole series. And as we do in our culture today, we will serve as lights in the midst of a dark night. And in treating people with respect or kindness, or by showing them a different way with our anger, we will give them a glimpse of Jesus. And that's the challenge, isn't it? To let our light shine. So guys, go with that encouragement today. Go knowing that God loves you. And take the challenge of trying to do differently with your anger. God, we thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you just for being able to take a step back and look at some of our deals when it comes to all the stuff that's been going on. But if truth be told, we confess to you today that we have been angry at a great many things as we've watched our society over the last year. I have to admit that we've been frustrated, and we could call it angry too, over all the limitations that we've had to experience due to COVID. We've got angry as we watch things on TV. Lord, that's spilled over, I think, to our relationships in the present. It's complicated some of our experiences with our spouses, with our kids, with our friends. I've even heard of people losing their relationships over this election. And I just think that's sad. So, Father, as we've dealt with some of these feelings, these raw emotions in different ways, it's not a sin, hear us say, it's not a sin to get angry, but what we do with that anger does matter. And you've called us to not sin in our anger. So let us take a step back again in the midst of our raw emotion and seek to serve you more as we express it, as we deal with it, And Father, may you heal anything that's broken on the inside that's causing us to react in overabundant ways. Help us find ways to talk with the people in our lives in ways that are healthy and lead us toward reconciliation and being upfront about the things that are bothering us, but then working through those as well. For society, Lord, we just pray. We pray that you heal, that you are a God of justice, that you are a God of mercy, and that somehow that you heal our land, and that's our prayer. Not by being forced to do one thing or another, but by coming to this common understanding of love for one another, that there's more that unites us than divides us. So that's our prayer today. Lord, hear us in Jesus' name. And guys, go with this blessing. May our Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious always unto you. And may he look upon you now with his favor and grant you forever his peace. Guys, go in that peace knowing that God's got you, knowing that he's with you, knowing that he will strengthen you in the difficult days, knowing that you are forgiven and loved by an amazing God. Go with that peace today and serve your Lord always with joy. I'll see you next week.